Father, thank you for your blessings of being together in this way. I pray now an anointing on Brother Ivan as he brings a message you've laid on his heart. I pray for clarity of thought and just your spirit's leading as he speaks those truths that you've shown him. I just ask that we can have receptive hearts and minds to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning to each of you. So I have a question here, and I'm making somewhat of an assumption that everybody in the room is saved. If you're old enough to know the Lord, I'm assuming that you are saved and have experienced salvation. So if that is true, since you've been saved and born again, how would you describe the work that God has been doing in your heart and in your life since the moment that you were saved? How would you describe the work that God has been doing in your heart since the moment of salvation or redemption? And there is not a right or wrong answer here. This is one that we could talk about for the next hour. We might talk about it for all of eternity. So I'd be curious if anybody would just share, how would you describe the work that God has done and is continuing to do in your heart since he redeemed you? I'm curious what words come to mind. Anybody feel brave enough to share what God is doing in you, if you were to summarize it or to describe it?
A lifelong process.
So he begins something in an instant, and it is a lifelong process, okay? Continual growth. Yeah, excellent. Very, very tied in with that lifelong process of continual growth. Lots of grace. Amen. Patient. Yes. Anything else coming to mind? Esther. Peace and joy. Doing things in our heart that only God can do. Yeah. Yep, slow dawning. The verse in Scripture that talks of it like a sunrise, that it's changing bit by bit. Wayne?
There's an ongoing battle.
Ongoing battle.
With the flesh.
Yeah.
And
yep, that is right. There's an ongoing battle. Sanctification and being sanctified? Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it's hard to explain the love that God had for us.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah. It's very hard to explain that God loves us when we're unlovable, we're opposed to him, and he loves us and changes us. Thank you. Anybody else have something on the tip of your tongue that you're debating, sharing?
Transformative.
Yeah. So we're gathered here. Is this not amazing? We are gathered here because we believe there is a holy, almighty, eternal God that saves us and then commits to working in our heart for the rest of our life and changing us. And that's we're gathered here in testimony to the work that he has done and is doing. So I'd like to spend some time this morning looking at what we've been attempting to describe. And that is God's work in our heart to change us, to transform us, to sanctify us. And it was interesting just hearing the different thoughts that were shared. And you all have articulated a lot of what we are going to talk about, of just God's continual work in us from the point of redemption through eternity. So I just want to be clear. I'm going to talk about what sanctification is. I'm not talking about how God sanctifies us this morning. And I also want to be clear, if you could please try to stick with me this morning, this will be a little bit of a theological sermon. I have tried very, very hard to be as clear and simple as I can in it. And that is a challenge when you're talking about something that literally will take all of eternity to unfold. So If you could stick with me, and I would actually would like to do a little bit more discussion as we go along in looking at what God does in us. And as we look at what sanctification is, I hope that we have a sense of awe that God would actually do this in our heart. We don't deserve this, and God does this. So when we look at the word sanctification, I just want to be clear. When you read in Scripture, there is the noun form, there's the verb form, and it's translated as being holy or holiness, being sanctified. And the word has two basic meanings. One is where something or somebody is set aside and set apart for a holy purpose. And so God has done that in our lives. He has set us aside as believers. The other definition has more to do another thing that we've talked about of purifying, removing guilt, and changing us. And that was definitely expressed as you all were talking about the work that God does in your heart. Just for perspective, in Scripture, in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus is saying, "Hallowed be thy name," that is the same word for sanctify. So when we think about what God is doing in our heart, there is a sense of working of holiness and setting us apart in that way. So we'll try to move fairly quickly through here. Our jumping off point of this concept is actually in the Old Testament and Leviticus of all places. Leviticus 22. "So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. And you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord." So God talking to the children of Israel here, and I just want us to note the progression. In the Old Testament, he's clearly saying he is the one that does the sanctifying. And so when we think about what we mean by sanctification, it is the work of God in us. And talking to the children of Israel, he said, "I brought you out of the land of Egypt," corresponding to God freeing us from sin. And then he is the one that sanctifies us. And the reason he does that is to be your God. So God saves us and changes us to be our God so we can walk in communion with him. Then another foundational verse, let's go over to Colossians 2. 6 and 7, and I should be clear, we're going to be in a lot of places this morning, not any one given text. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So as you have received the Lord, we are given salvation and redemption and sanctification is a gift that God gives us. We've received the Lord, and in the same way that we receive it, we are to walk in him. And what we're describing in sanctification is this rooting and building up and just working that out in our lives. 1 Corinthians 20, chapter 1, 28 through 31. "God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." So we want to be clear when we look at the idea of sanctification from these verses. The core concept here is that we are in Christ. And this phrase is used so often in the New Testament, it's something like 80 times, that it's talking about that we're in Christ. So when we're thinking about being sanctified, it is core to know our identity, that we're in Christ. He is our sanctification. So we'll come back to this this illustration here a little bit. The circle represents who we are and our soul, and at a spirit level that we are in Christ. Then 1 Thessalonians 4, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. So very clearly here, God is saying, and we know this, but God's will for us is our sanctification. In Romans, he talks about he's predestined us to be conformed, to be changed into the image of God. So we've talked about this. We know that it is God's will that he sanctifies us, purifies us from sin, and changes us from the inside out. So if we think about what happened in the Garden of Eden when sin came into the world, it literally infected everything. The relationship with God, who we are, relationship with others, the world. And in redemption and in sanctification, God is restoring his image in each of us and bringing back that right relationship. And when we talk about sanctification, what we're really talking about, and you all have said this already, is growing and changing in Christ. That at the core of sanctification, that is the work that God is doing in us. So as we talk about sanctification, one of the things that becomes a little bit difficult or can be a little confusing is that there is a past component of this, and there is a present component of this, and there is a future component to sanctification. So when we think about salvation, at the point, this just represents our life here where we're born. Here is where we are in eternity. We're born outside of Christ, and at some point, if we accept Christ, we are in Christ, we're born again, and at that point, we are declared right with God or justified. And so that is what people talk about, justification. Then, and multiple of you referenced this, from the point of salvation for the rest of our life, there is an ongoing growth that is what we talk about in the term of sanctification. And then the future part of this is that in heaven, we will be glorified. So this is not, you know, if you want to read into the theology of this, people will talk about sanctification or justification, sanctification, and glorification. And God is doing all of this in our lives. One of the things I do want to clarify is that we tend to separate these two out a little bit, justification and sanctification. In Scripture, they're very closely linked together. And maybe not as clearly separated out. So there is a past, present, and a future component to our sanctification. So I'll just give a few examples of this in 1 Corinthians 6. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So Christ did a work in you in the past that you're set apart and you're declared holy. Then in Hebrews 10, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, and every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So you have the ongoing work and the past, present, and the future. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. So there is a progressive sanctification that will be made full and revealed in heaven. I am going to skip over that one. Another way to think about the past, the present, and the future nature of this, again, not originally with me, but if you look at the past, sanctification deals with our penalty for sin. In the present, sanctification deals with the power of sin, that Jesus has broken the power of sin in our life. And in the future, sanctification will deal with the presence of sin. In heaven, there will be no sin in our life or in heaven or in anywhere around us. So that is dealing with the past, present, and future nature of sanctification. Then I want to talk just a little bit yet about who does the work And I want to be really clear on this. I won't read all of this, but this is in Revelation 4, where they're singing the song of Moses. And I want you to notice at the end of this, verse 4, "Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." When it comes to being holy and purified, only God is holy. Any holiness in our life is received. In fact, Scripture tells us that the most righteous thing that we could ever do on our own is a filthy rag in comparison. So the holiness comes from God alone. It's received. God chooses us, makes us holy, and sets us apart. So God does the work. However, we have a part to play in all of this, and this is one of the things that can be difficult for people to understand. 2 Corinthians 7, 1 tells us, "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord." So I want to be very clear. God is doing the work of growing and changing us, but our part is to allow Him to work and to let Him bring that to completion and to bring all that we are to walk with the Lord and to cooperate with what He's doing in our lives. And I understand that this is a verse that I reference quite a lot, partly because it is so foundational to me to understand what it means to live out our salvation and how the parts fit together. "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." When it comes to our sanctification, God is doing the work to change our desires and to give us the power to obey, but we are called to work it out with everything that we are to work that out. So God is doing the work, and it is only a response to what He is doing in us. So now I want to bounce back to this illustration to try to talk about a couple of things here. So one of the things, and just I just want to clarify a couple of incorrect ideas that you will hear or you will see in reading, and some of these things can happen to us and in our thinking. So when we look back on Christ saving us here, and He totally changes us, He redeems us, we're born again, we're a brand new person. When we talk about sanctification for a Christian, this is not, oh, we're just turning over a new leaf. Like, we're literally changed at the core of who we are. But sometimes there can be the tendency to think, well, God did all of that, and so then now it's up to me to live this rest of it out. And we kind of separate the ongoing need for the power of God for every step along the way and for Him to change us. So that's one of the things that can happen. The other thing, and here's where we could spend hours and hours talking about different things that have been taught, but there is teaching that would say, you know what, you're fully justified here, but at some point, you know, you're born again, but you really, like, some point down here is where there is a second work of sanctification. And people will talk about a second work of grace that needs to happen, maybe a second work of being filled with the Spirit a second time or in a new way. And what we believe Scripture teaches is that when you are born again, you are filled with the Spirit, and God begins the work of sanctification at that point. And yes, there are very significant points of rededication and things that happen later in your life, but there is not a need for a secondary experience for sanctification to begin. Is that clear? And I'd be curious if you guys have ran across that. That thinking is actually pretty prominent and woven into a lot of theology and thinking. Part of where that goes is for people who believe people will really pursue a second work of sanctification. And then the belief is that from that point on, that they should never sin again. And there are people, there are well-known pastors who would say, you know, I haven't sinned for years and years and years. And, you know, thank you to the grace of God if that is true, but that's not, you know, what you're taught in John is that we are in an ongoing way. We don't live in sin, but we're constantly repenting Every day we're repenting and being changed from glory to glory. So that's one of the dangers that happens. If you look for a second work, then you expect to be entirely free from that point on. I'm going to stop here because I know that we are skimming the surface of deep theological water, and I would welcome questions or discussion, or even if there's things that, hey, Ivan, that doesn't quite seem right, I would rather talk about it at this point before we go on and shift gears here a little bit. We can continue Sunday school here. Any discussion around this? Yeah.
It's very evident in the language what it is, and that it is a movement towards holiness. It's not like this. In English, it's kind of, you know, it's a Latin word, but in Spanish, it's so evident what it means.
Yeah.
Anyway,
thank you. I like that a lot. That is a great, great way of expressing what we're talking about, the holification, holification of us.
Right, not W-H-O-L.
Yeah. Yeah, right, God is making us whole again, as we were designed to be. And in talking about and trying to struggle with defining what it is, let's not lose the wonder that God does this in our heart. Like, we do not deserve this. This is amazing that God does this. But yeah, any other additional discussion around this before I want to continue the discussion, but shift gears a bit. Through the Word of God, yep. Alvin, it's almost like you're reading my notes. It's almost like you're reading my notes.
That's a good... Sanctification is.
Right, that is... Yeah. Yeah, that is often... Well, yeah, that is how God sanctifies us, one of the primary ways. So I do want to shift gears a little bit, and in some ways I hope this... Well, not that any of this isn't practical, but I guess looking at, you know, so we believe this to be true, but yet, you know, Ivan, like, Monday comes and I still do this or feel this, or, you know, it's, Wayne talked about the struggle of it. Like, there's the reality of living this out. And so I want to be clear. I feel like in many ways this sermon might have been something for me to study. Years ago, I was at SMBI, and one of the teachers there was talking about sanctification, and he said, you know, he's been working on trying to make a model of how to understand sanctification, and he doesn't have it done, and this is like 15 years ago. But he's going to write a book about it, and I keep checking, and I don't think he's written a book. And so I keep thinking about this, and for myself, wanting to understand what does God do in my heart, and as I walk with people as a pastor, like, what does God do? How does He change us? And one of the things that's so interesting to me is if you talk about sanctification, people will really gravitate towards one description of it, and it really is deeply meaningful to them. And I was like, why? You know, why are there so many different descriptions? Is there one kind of model? And I'm a person that likes to boil things down and kind of understand things in a simple way. So this is part of what my journey has been of trying to think through, okay, what is sanctification? How does God work that out? So this is a shift into sharing some thoughts on that. And how does God grow and change us in Christ? So I mentioned that this is attempting to draw a picture of who we are at our soul. And I'll explain this a little bit more. But in our spirit, we are growing and changing in Christ. And primarily, we talk about sanctification in three ways, and that's what I want to walk through, and Alvin introduced this already, John 17. So in John 17, he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself that they may also be sanctified in truth. one of the ways, primary ways that God makes us holy is through his word and through truth. I'm going to read a few more verses and then we'll talk about what I mean by this. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I want us to note here the transforming, the changing, the growth that happens through our mind. So when we talk about sanctification, what I'm doing here is the circles here represents different parts of us. So green represents our mind, our thoughts, what it is that we think. And many times in thinking about sanctification, we understand this to be that we know that Satan attacks our mind with falsehood, with lies, and we're told in Scripture we are to take every thought captive. We're to tear down strongholds. And so there's a real sense in that being sanctified has to do with our mind, believing the truth, being anchored in God's word, and living out our identity in Christ. Neil Anderson has done a lot of teaching and writing in this, that to be sanctified, we have to know who we are in Christ. Because outside of that, as he says, we try to become someone that we already are. We try to become somebody that we already are, that Christ has made us who we are in him. So in sanctification, growing and changing in Christ, there's the element of dealing with our mind. Then I want to go on and talk a little bit about our will. A few verses with that, Luke 9, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Going on in Romans 6, but thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. And then John 14, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So when it comes to growing and changing in Jesus, there is the matter of our will. And this is not a shocker to anybody who is a parent. Even from a young age, you know that we are hardwired. We want to be our own boss. We don't like people telling us what to do. We have a will that we want our own way. And if we're going to be sanctified, there is a surrendering of lordship and our will to God. And often people who experience sanctification in this arena will talk about the idea of surrendering, of taking back ground, of making him Lord of that area of their life. And these are good ways of understanding sanctification. So again, living out who we are in Christ has a component of our mind and also our will. And then third, let's talk about emotions a little bit. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. So there is I'm going to guess that we probably think, when we think about sanctification, think more about our thoughts and our will, our actions, but there is a component where God sanctifies and changes our emotions. And this is Jesus' mission was to to heal the brokenhearted, to deal with us at an emotional level. John 1, I won't read all of this, but it tells us that the Word became flesh, seen His glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so when Jesus came, He was full of grace and truth. And broadly speaking, grace is the more of the relational, the love that we need, and truth is the truth that we need if we're going to be sanctified. So Jesus came full of grace and truth. Chuck Swindoll said this. He said, "We are strange creatures, proud of our brains, stubborn in our will, but ashamed of our emotions, though we deny all three." That we can tend to be proud of our brains, stubborn in our will, ashamed of our emotions, though we deny all three. So I don't know if that's how you feel when you think about having your emotions redeemed. Again, I'm not going to read some of these passages in entirety. I'd encourage you to read through them. But thinking about a passage that we love like Philippians 4, it deals a lot with our emotions, that they are to be transformed. He calls us that we are to rejoice. We are to lay aside anxiety. He talks about peace and all of those things. And a lot of the commands have to do with loving, with things from our heart, rejoicing, brotherly affection, loving from the heart, mourning, dealing with fear, tenderhearted forgiveness. In all of this, there is a restoration of our soul that only God can do. Because one of the things with our emotions and the impact of sin is that whenever we sin, it creates emotional problems for us to deal with. And whenever anyone sins against us, there are emotional things that we need to deal with that only God can sanctify and cleanse. So back here to our graph or the picture here. And again, this is as much for me to try to get my thinking out, to understand what God does. I hope that it can be helpful to somebody here. But when it comes to being sanctified, God is wanting to change us at a mind level, what we're thinking. We know for sure He wants to change us at a will level, where He is Lord. And He wants to change us at an emotional level. You know, our emotions are tied to things that we believe, and they reveal things. He wants to change us. He wants to heal us and make us who He wants us to be. So, Darren, back to the Spanish word, there is the making us holy, but making us whole, W-H-O-L-E, of a restoration that God does. And I'm so grateful that God does this. One of the things I was also thinking about as I was thinking about how we talk about sanctification. We talk about it in terms of being a freedom from sin or a freedom from bondage. So I have that down here. We talk about it being a surrender. We talk about it being a cleansing. And we'll talk about it being a healing. So I may have missed words, but those are the words that I hear us most often use to describe sanctification. And as I was thinking about that, again, this is loosely, I'm not insisting on this, but I do think that in a lot of ways, freedom corresponds with our mind, that we are called to take thoughts captive and to live in freedom. But really, we are called and given the gift by Jesus to live free of sin in all of these areas. And then surrender and cleansing has to do with surrendering to God. You know, the idea of if we're going to surrender to God is not easy. Will we surrender to Him? You know, one of the things that I battled for years as a younger person is, well, if I surrender fully to God, like I'm saved, I want to follow God, but like just to surrender to the point of telling God He can do anything, like what is God going to ask me to do? And my biggest fear was that God would somehow think that it was going to give Him glory to have me die really young. And so as a teenager, like, well, am I going to, like, can I truly surrender to God if that's what He would ask me to do? And, this was a real issue for me. So there's the matter of surrender, but then there's also the matter of cleansing. Like, we all have done wrong. We've made wrong choices. We know that we have to be cleansed from those things. And God does that. And then there's the healing. We, you know, people in this room carry very, very deep emotional pain that, you know, try as we may, we can't change. And there's a component of that that only God can get at and can touch. And so as I stand back from all of this and look at what is God doing, I'm grateful that God is growing and changing me in my mind and my will and my emotions. Why would God do all of this? I added that in there to think this through. I believe it is for His glory and for my good. So God came to destroy the works of darkness and to set people free from sin. And so when we respond to Him, that's giving Him glory. And it's also for our good, that He can sanctify us and change us. I also want to be clear, these things are all very interrelated. It's not like we only need sanctified in one area. For example, if I am deeply hurt and you know, that happens to me and I choose not to forgive, that impacts my emotions, it's going to impact my will, and it will impact my mind in what I think and in giving strongholds. So when God cleanses us, He's releasing us from sin in all of these areas. It's not just one-dimensional. All right, I will open it up at this point, and then I will pray and close. But any questions or discussion or thoughts around the idea of God meeting us and cleansing us in all of these areas and in these ways, and thinking of sanctification in this way? Yeah, I think so. I think it is allowing God to do the work that He wants to do. Because often we can define sanctification as the things that we then do in response, like I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But I think it really is letting God do what He wants to do. But I'm open for discussion on that. And I'm not minimizing the response that God calls us to out of that. It is a wholehearted response, but it really is letting God do what He wants to do. As I think about this, God wants to free me from sin even more than I want to get rid of sin and baggage in my life. Like, Jesus wanted to set me free from sin. He wants to work that out. Yeah.
It's an active surrender, not just a, okay,
waiting now. Yeah. Play out. Yep, agreed. And please hear me carefully. This is not a inherently bad phrase, but we hear the term let go and let God. And in some ways, that was the little bit that I read associated with the idea of that second work of sanctification, where if you can totally let go, God will change you to the point of where you will not sin again. So God, yes, we surrender, and that always means that God is calling us to do things. Any other discussion or question, Mary? Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Robert?
I also have to think of where Jacob wrestled with God. Mm-hmm. And I think surrender has an element of wrestling. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Definitely. All right. Well, thank you for your attention. My prayer is that we leave and allow God to do this in your life this week, in your mind, your will, and your emotions, that we can walk in who God wants us to be in Christ. So let's stand together, and I'll ask God to bless us. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen.